Okay, turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Again, we're reminded that 2 Timothy is a book written especially to cause and to encourage people to be faithful to God in the last days. There's many scripture verses that speak of the apostasy of the church, the last days of the church age. There are the parables in Matthew chapter 13 that talk about the mustard seed and talk about how the kingdom of God is like unto a mustard seed, which is the smallest among the seeds, and yet it grows into a tree in which the birds of the air can't think of the word, go. And those birds of the air represent Satan. And that picture of the church age, that Christianity will grow into an abnormal size, and within the realms of Christianity, Satan himself will dwell. We have the parable of the leaven. A woman took three measures of meal and leavened that three measures of meal till all was leavened. And the Bible tells us that leaven is a picture of sin. And that Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And how that those three measures of meal, which represent fellowship with God, will be leavened with the leaven of false doctrine, till all was leavened. Not a very pretty picture. Luke 18 and verse 8, it says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? It's a rhetorical question. And, the answer is no. No. You say, how can that be, the great big mega church movement? The answer is no. Of course, it's the phrase, the faith, which represents not only, thank you, the profession of faith, but the lifestyle that goes with true faith. And the answer is no. We read, we've been looking at 2 Timothy, and taking of the Apostle Paul, his capture, his imprisonment. There is a passing of the baton from Paul to Timothy. And sad to say that as Paul goes to jail, everyone just praises the Lord and thanks the Apostle Paul and said, we thank you, Lord, for sending the Apostle Paul for preaching the gospel and giving us the truth. Thank you, Lord. No. No. And in 2 Timothy, we get a glimpse of the spirit of Christianity in the last days. Now, let us be reminded of some things, of the inferences in the book of Timothy about the last days. And remember the inference in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall, after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now it's talking about the people. It's talking about the people in the churches. Now, let's stop here and think about if this is how the people are in the churches in the last days, itching ears, they pick a church deciding on if the church is going to let them live their worldly lifestyle or not. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, good rock music, you know, public immodesty, lots of good worldly activities. How faithful do you think they're going to be to the Lord in time of persecution? That's the kind of people. What are they going to be like when the going gets tough? Notice in 2 Timothy 3. It says in 2 Timothy 3, know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Notice what it says in verse 4. What will be the characteristic spirit of the day? Verse 4, loyal, faithful, true blue. Is that what it says? What does it say? Traitors. The spirit of the day, of the last days, it says, traitors. Covenant breakers. That's the spirit of the day. Why? Because the spirit of the day is every man for himself. Men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. You know, it's amazing. What does that mean? That means the spirit of the day is that, you know, it will be save your own skin is the most important thing. Now, let's go to the example in 2 Timothy 4 that gives us, I believe it's not a mere, not only an historical reality, but I think it gives us some insight in context of 2 Timothy. Remember, because 2 Timothy starts off and it says to Timothy, be not thou ashamed of me. Be not thou ashamed of me. Very interesting, isn't it? Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Kind of get a little insight here. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Don't shirk to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That's kind of the setting, isn't it? So we get to 2 Timothy 4. Notice real life. Verse 9, Paul is in prison, the maritime prison. It is said that no one ever came out of that prison alive. When Paul was in prison in Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon, that was a house arrest. He was in his own house that he was able to rent with funds that people gave to him. He was chained to a Roman soldier. And he won the case brought before Caesar. He was freed. And upon his freedom, he went to Ephesus and set things in order and then put Timothy in charge. And then he went on his journey to Philippi, as he had promised that he would do immediately upon his release from prison. Now, this is later. This is near the end of his life. He has been Nero in his dementia. You see, the rich people in those days, they used lead utensils. The rich people could afford lead utensils, knives, forks, spoons made out of lead. And guess what they got? Lead poisoning. And probably that's what happened to Nero. He got lead poisoning and his brain started going a little wacky. But Nero liked fires. You know, firemen are supposed to put out fires, but I hear a lot of firemen like fires. Well, Nero liked fires. And he set the city of Rome on fire. And rather than face a mutiny, he blamed it on the Christians. And the Apostle Paul was the worldwide known leader of the Christians. And so the Apostle Paul was arrested. And now is the beginning of the Roman persecution. Before that, it was the Jewish persecution. But now it is beginning the Roman persecution. And under the Roman persecution, we have the Roman government with their iron fist now going to use their power and their sword to put to death Christians. And over the next 250 years, there were seven intense persecutions of Christians in which millions were put to death. And Tertullian said that even though Rome tried to stamp out Christianity, Tertullian said the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. But here we have, in this book of the inference of the last days of the church, we have an example of the needed loyalty in the last days, and in contrast to the common disloyalty. Verse 9, he writes, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy, come quickly. I need you." That's what he's saying. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." We don't know about Crescens or Titus, why they left. It could have been circumstantial. Verse 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me." Think of it. Hundreds of thousands of people come to Christ, the Apostle Paul. Hundreds of thousands. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Thank the Lord, Mark had matured and stood true to the stuff. He had faltered early in life, but now he was ready to stand for God even under the most intense difficulty. "Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." You know, when the man of God gets down, there's always going to be somebody to rise to the occasion. Just like David. "Of whom thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Notice verse 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." I pray, God, that it may not be had to their charge. Wow. At my first answer, in other words, his first appearance before Caesar, his first appearance in the courtroom, no lawyers, no friends, no one. At my first answer, no one stood with me. Notwithstanding, praise the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be made, might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, whether that's referring to Nero or whether that refers to the literal condemnation that he was going to face, face a lion and be thrown to the lions, we do not know. But it would not be improper to consider that to be a literal truth. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we look at this passage of Scripture. First of all, we want to see Paul's faithfulness to the Lord. We want to see Paul's faithfulness to the Lord. No one stood with me. So he got cold feet and say, I forsake the Lord. No. He did not deny the Lord. But on the other hand, he experienced the supernatural strengthening of the Lord himself. Amen? He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be made, might be fully known. It seems that even there, in that precarious situation in which the verdict could have been, you are cast into the den of lions or into the Colosseum to face the lions, instead of whimpering and cowering and keeping quiet, he preached fully the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing. What a difference than the day in which we live. Yeah, I think it was Rick Warren just recently appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I didn't see it. But the remark was made, did he preach the gospel? No. Did he reveal the heresy and the wicked teaching of Oprah Winfrey, who claims to be a member of a Baptist church? No. Not at all. But what about the Apostle Paul? He wasn't just standing before some celebrity. He was standing before the court whose life was, who had the power to condemn him to death. But the Bible says he did not deny the Lord. He instead appropriated the grace and the power of Jesus Christ himself and experienced a supernatural deliverance that only God can give. Even as the passage we read in Matthew chapter 10, he says, when they take you in that day, Don't worry about what you have to say. Don't worry about what kind of answer you'll give. The Spirit of God will give you the right answer. The Spirit of God will strengthen you. Praise the Lord. Paul was faithful. I think of other men who under trial and duress and under the sentence of death stood for the Lord and experienced the supernatural strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord is available for those who will stand for Him, who are not afraid of death, who are not afraid of the enemy, who are not afraid of the price of faithfulness to Jesus Christ. You know, there's something else that I think is remarkable here. I think it ought to be remembered. Not only did he not deny the Lord, and not only did he find God's strength and grace to stand for the truth without shame, but boldly preach. But there's something else I think that is really important. Something we don't think about. He said, no man stood with me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Do you see any bitterness? Quite a statement, isn't it? You know, many people who stay true to God, in the failure of men, succumb to the bitterness of being betrayed by those that they gave their life for. But not Paul. You know, many people who don't fall to the wiles of the devil in one area, fall to the wiles of the devil in another area. I remember a young man called to preach, went to Bible college, and he met their Bible college. He met some young men and a number of them that were playing the game. And somehow they were related to the, somehow they were in the system. And they were getting away with all sorts of stuff. And there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. And it made him upset. But he wasn't going to do that. But he became bitter and proud. And he didn't lose the fight by the initial temptation, but he lost the fight by the hidden one, pride and bitterness. You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with Mr. Reed this week. He's quite a historian. He was telling me about Aaron Burr. And Aaron Burr is the famous traitor during the Revolutionary War. And Aaron Burr made a secret deal with the British that he was going to surrender or give over the fort. I think it's at Trenton. Is that right? Pardon me? Benedict Arnold, excuse me. Westport. And but you know, we don't always understand why people do what they do. Why was he willing to do that? And I might have a couple different stories here mixed up, but as I understand the story, why was he willing to become a traitor? Well, because in a previous battle, the troops were retreating. The Revolutionary Army was being defeated. And as the leader of the group, he rides in amongst his troops and against the enemy, flashing his sword and rallying his troops to rise up and defeat the enemy. A glorious victory was won. But his superiors did not recognize his efforts. And although he brought about a glorious victory, he became bitter because he was not recognized. And his bitterness, kept building up, that he finally came to the point that he was willing to betray his own country and would have brought about the end of the Revolutionary War in defeat for one reason: bitterness. Bitterness. Not only did Apostle Paul have a great victory over Satan in not denying the truth, being willing to do what was right, but he did not fall by the secret enemies. He did not fall by the secret enemy of pride. And he did not fall by the secret enemy of bitterness. How many people have stood for the Lord in a noble cause and their pride has caused them to fall? And the very thing they stood against, their pride, destroyed them. Amazing. The enemies that destroy the people of God. But Paul was faithful. Paul was faithful. He was faithful to God. And you know, you and I can be faithful to God. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter how faithless other people are. It doesn't matter how difficult the hour will be. The Bible tells us this great promise: and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. You say, I don't understand that verse. Paul wasn't delivered from Nero's sword. He had his head chopped off. How could he say that he would be delivered from every evil work? I tell you what. You know what? Because there's something that's more important than your head. You know what it is? Your eternal soul. And through all those trials, through all that intenseness, and through the condemnation that he faced, God delivered his soul. He remained true. He remained faithful. And he was ushered into the presence of his Savior Amen? God preserved him. You know, there's something far more than your head. There's something far more important than a little bit of money. It's your soul. And he said, God shall deliver me from every evil work. And you know, it doesn't matter if it is Nero or if it's the fires of the Inquisitioners or if it's the future apostasy or whether it is the worldliness of the last days or whether it's the sin inside the soul of pride and bitterness and stubbornness. No one has to succumb to that because our God is able to deliver us. The victory is in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're going backwards, you're under the curse of bitterness, you're under the curse of pride, you're under the curse of stubbornness, I tell you what, there's someone who can deliver you from that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to flee to him now. We have also, though, some great instructions about a man's duty. And we see the duty of man here under the inference of the departure of the last days. And of the forsaking of the man of God, the Apostle Paul, what are the duties that are presented here? What are the duties? And we want to look at them quickly here. First of all, I want us to think of what it says in 2 Timothy 1 and go back there, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Don't be ashamed. You know, young person, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Oh, you don't want someone to see you with a nice, neat, parted haircut? Don't be ashamed. You don't want your relatives to see you, young ladies, how you dress modestly. You don't want to go to that public place and get the scorn of the teenagers. Don't be ashamed. You don't want to be known as a Bible banger, and you're just inside you really don't want to pass out that tract. Don't be ashamed. They say, hey. Come on, take a joint. No, I'm not taking it. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Or if you had him, you wouldn't need that stuff. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Don't be ashamed. You know, silence can be a mark of shame, can't it? We can be silent with our mouth. We can be silent with our life. Don't be ashamed. Sunday's the Lord's day. I'm going to be in church. I don't want to work on Sundays. Don't be ashamed. Say it might cost me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You know, there's nothing more powerful than a Christian young person who looks different than the world, acts different from the world, and is glad to be that way. And unashamedly talks to other people about Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. Why does it say? It says right there, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man's duty, don't be ashamed. And you know, every one of us have to deal with that issue. Every one of us have to deal with that issue of not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know, we're ashamed when we think more of what people think than what God thinks. We're ashamed when we are listening to what the world says how we ought to live and not by what the Bible has to say. We're ashamed when we change our lifestyle because of what some relative might say rather than by obeying what God says. You see, the spirit of compromise is the spirit of being ashamed of the truth. And that's the problem. People want to fit into the world. And the Bible says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. World needs to be delivered. And they need to know and be able to see a difference. And they can see that difference in our very spirit of how, what we think about righteousness and the gospel. Now notice, secondly, he says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. You know, you want to go to Nero's prison and visit Paul? You might be associated with him. You might be thrown in jail yourself. Oh, Paul, this is your assistant? Aha! Gotcha. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. As I think of this, I think of Georgie Vins, who was a Russian pastor, who spent somewhere between 12 and 15 years in Soviet prison camps under communism. And under communism, it was against the law to help a prisoner's family. They lost their breadwinner. They lost their income. And they would need some help, but it was against the law to help the family of a prisoner. But praise the Lord, of course, the believers in Russia, they didn't pay attention. That's silly law. They love the Lord Jesus Christ more than what some atheists would do to them. But I remember reading George Evans and how they're in a prison camp every once in a while. They would let visitors come in. Many times the visitors would travel hours and hours on the train to visit Brother Vinge, and they'd be turned away, had to go all the way home. But remember reading how on more than one occasion the authorities let his family come in. And he talks about the food they were able to bring him. And talks about how one time they were able to bring in a tiny, tiny Gospel of Mark. And so tiny that he could hide it into the heel of his boot. And how they could read the Word of God together. And how they could pray together. And how they were to weep together. And what a blessing it was. What an encouragement it was to Brother Vinge there in jail for the gospel. He said, do thy diligence. It means concerted effort. Means work. It's going to take some great effort. But Timothy, put all the effort you can and get here as soon as you can. Get that ticket to board that ship as soon as you can. However it takes, get it. Get here. Do thy diligence to come quickly. Come before it's too late. You think about that. You think about how important it is in the days of apostasy to be led by the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit of God. To stand alongside of those who are standing for the truth. I believe it was Latimer, under the British persecutions, who was burning at the stake. And the fires were coming up around him. And his friend says to him, Latimer, play the man. Play the man. The words of encouragement. Notice, it says, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved this present world. You know, there is a cost if you're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ. There's a cost. And Demas, who has been one of Paul's faithful companions and fellow workers even, he made a choice. He made a choice over this world versus the next world. He made a choice over the temporal versus the eternal. He made a choice between his skin and the will of God. He made a choice between self and God's will. Why? Because there's a cost to pay. You know, there's a cost to pay. was talking to Brother Reed. He's witnessing to this man up there in Maine. Somehow related to the logging industry. He's been talking to this man for many years about Christ. And not too long ago, this man was talking to him and said, you know, I saw so-and-so, and when he got saved, and he went to that church over there, I saw it. I saw all his friends forsook him. I saw and I heard all the words of his friends and everything they said about him when he joined and went over to that church after he got saved. He says, you know, I've decided I'm willing to pay the price. I don't care if I lose all my friends. I'm planning on it. I don't really care about what people say. I already know what they would say. He says, but, you know, I'm going to choose Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a world in which people want them both. But more and more, the days are coming in which you won't be able to have them both. And we live more and more in the days in which many people are choosing that they love this world, this rotten world, this world of pleasure, this world of sin, this world of men's applause. They love this world far more than they love Jesus Christ. He said, you know, there's a choice. It's going to cost you something if you identify with me, Timothy. It's going to cost you something. And it's going to cost us something if we identify with Jesus Christ. You come here to the jail. You know what? That's public. That's public. There's no secret discipleship here at the jail. No silent Christians here at the jail. You come here. And you're standing before the most powerful man in this world, and you're identifying with me, his enemy. It's public. And so we have there, Timothy, we have four transforming truths that we need to have in our lives if we're going to stay true to Jesus Christ. For God, verse 7, hath not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear of this world, the spirit of the fear of the voices of men, The spirit of fear of the price of standing for Jesus Christ, the spirit of fear of rejection, all those things, those do not come from God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's not come from God. But he's given us what? The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he's given us the spirit of love. You know what that love is? It's the love of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. What is it? It's the love of Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for you and I. I can't help but think of Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, the love of those martyred saints, the love for Jesus Christ. Revelation 7, 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. Wow. The love of God. Why were they willing to give their lives? Why were they unwilling to bow before the Antichrist and take his image? Why? Because of the love of Jesus Christ. He's given us the spirit of love. Do you love Jesus Christ? Or do we love the world? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Who do we love? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Spirit of love, the love of Jesus Christ that is stronger than many waters. It's the backbone of loyalty to Jesus Christ. Notice what else it says. It's given us the spirit of power. We'll go to that later. He's given us the spirit of a sound mind. I like that. A sound mind. Reasonable thinking. You know, Demas wasn't thinking too good, was he? He said, well, I'm going to forsake the Apostle Paul. That way I won't get in trouble. That way, I'll have the safety of this world, and I won't have to worry about my life being taken, and I can just fit in. He wasn't thinking very good. He was sacrificing the eternal on the altar of the present. That's not very good thinking, is it? He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. You know, we're all faced with that. Sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the present. No. Sacrifice the present on the altar of the eternal. Live for the eternal. This world is just a short period of time. Giving us a sound mind. And he's given us the spirit of power. The power, the dunamis power, the Spirit of God that gives us the power to rise up, be strong in the grace which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to be unashamed, to stand for Jesus Christ. The power the Apostle Paul had as he stood before Nero to give a testimony of salvation through Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, I heard of this man, I think he was in Peru. He heard the Pope, this number of years ago, he heard the Pope was coming to Peru. He was a believer, this man was a saved Christian. And he heard the Pope was coming. And he figured out how he could go and see the Pope. And he got through all the security, and the Pope was sitting wherever he was sitting on this important place, at whatever, this banquet hall, and this man gets through the crowd, gets through the security, and he gets to the Pope, and he hands the Pope a gospel tract. He was soon apprehended, but he gave the Pope the gospel tract. The spirit of power. You know, it's the same power that you can have to talk to Jesus about Jesus Christ, to that clerk, to that neighbor, to that relative, to that very person that you'd think would be the last person on earth that won't want to hear the gospel. It's the power to be unashamed of Jesus Christ. It's the power to live a godly life. I always think about this, and I hope I get the story right. But I remember when Miss Lambrick was working at Gardner's gas station. My daughter Emily was my secretary, and I had Melissa. And I would send Melissa down to the gas station on Saturday night to get me a soda. And she'd go down to the Gardner's. And she met Ricky, start witnessing to her. And down at Gardner's, they had a shoebox. And if you'd ask them, have you ever gotten a gospel tract? They'd pull out the shoebox, which was full of gospel tracts. Anyway, one day, Melissa was talking to Ricky. Maybe Ricky remembers it, maybe he doesn't. She says, Ricky says to her, you know, you people are really different. You are different. It wasn't a compliment. No, she could have said, well, I'm sorry, we're different. Maybe we will try to be more like you. Maybe we could go to a movie together or something. Or go to the bar or something. I don't know. Probably she didn't even drink then anyhow. But, no. You know what? We are different. Praise the Lord. Are you ashamed of being different? Don't be ashamed of being different. We ought to be different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen? Amen? Do you think the world likes what they are? No, they need to be different. They got a miserable life. Don't be ashamed of being different. Jesus Christ gives us the power to be unashamed, to be different. You know, people want to apologize for what we believe. Well, I'm not ashamed of what we believe. Are you ashamed of what we believe? You want to apologize for it? You don't need to be ashamed of what we believe. It's the truth. The truth will set you free. In this world, if they'd follow the truth, they'd have a lot better life. Don't be ashamed of the truth. Don't be ashamed of what's right. Don't apologize for it. Don't say, oh, you know. No. Don't be ashamed of that. It's being ashamed of Christ. He's given us the spirit of power. And you know, those very truths are the key for us to live for God today. Are the very truths, the same realities, which will give us the ability to not deny Jesus Christ in the future. People say, oh, it's just going to come out of the sky. Well, yes, it is, but guess what? We can start practicing right now. Being faithful to Jesus Christ. Because that same Holy Spirit that will enable us in those days is the same Holy Spirit that enables us today. How are we doing? How are we doing? Are we experiencing the power of God in our life? How are we doing? We say, I'd never deny the Lord. But you're letting bitterness or pride or some other thing defeat you? The devil will get us one way or the other, won't he? We all like to think that we're going to be faithful to the Lord. But today is reality. And today is our opportunity to put these truths into practice. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. It's a great truth for us. And you know, I don't think the Apostle Paul was moaning and groaning there in the prison and say, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. You know, that's really not what I get out of there, is it? He said, I'm ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. He said, nobody stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Amen. He's experiencing the victory in Jesus Christ. And it's real. And God wants us to be experiencing that victory today. Of course, that victory starts. As people say yes to God, they say yes to the truth about sin. And they agree with God, yes, that's sin, that's wrong. Agree with God about their own heart, their sinfulness of their heart. And they say yes to God as to the beauty of Jesus Christ. And that holiness is beautiful and godliness is beautiful. And Jesus Christ is wonderful. Say yes to God. Agree with God. Come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, that's the beginning. Amen? The beginning of experiencing a real relationship with God. Now, if we're saved, we need to be experiencing that real relationship with God. If we're saved, we need to experience that relationship in its fullness and not letting the world or sin rob us of the victory in Jesus Christ. And maybe today you be honest with God and say, you know what, God? I've been ashamed of you. I've been ashamed of righteousness. I've been ashamed of right. I've been ashamed of the gospel. I've been ashamed of being different. I've been ashamed of the truth. I've been ashamed of people who stand for the truth. I've been ashamed of institutions that stand for the truth. I need to repent of taking on the spirit of the day and get God's power to stand for truth unashamedly. I need to get God's power every day. Arm myself with a packet of tracts and shoes shod with the gospel. And to walk with God to make a difference in this world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be reminded that, Lord, in a day of disloyalty, your will is that we become loyal. That we learn the spirit of loyalty. In a day of men going their own ways and finding Christianity that fits their lifestyle, Lord, we need to be unashamed of you and of what is right. And Lord, I pray that even today that we'd recognize that the spirit of fear, the fear of men, and the fear of their mocking and their scorning and their jabs and their smart remarks and their twisting of the truth, Lord, it's all a part of the world's opposition to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that even today we would appropriate the power of Jesus Christ in our life. The power to stand, this power to live, the power to spread the word of God. Work in our hearts. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes closed even today as we think of this message. Is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart? We all would like to think we're going to be loyal to the Lord. But you know, this world and this day is a test of that. And the Spirit of God has been speaking to you about being ashamed of the Lord and of the truth and of the gospel. And you say, you know, God spoke in my heart today. I realized that through God's strength, I don't have to be ashamed. I can stand up for what's right. And by God's grace, today the Lord has spoken to you. Say, you know, I'm going to leave this place with a little bit of victory over the spirit of fear. And by the grace of God, I want to stand up for Jesus Christ in a new way. And turn my back on that spirit of fear of man and cowering about things of God, but being bold for Jesus Christ in a good and proper way. The Lord has spoken to your heart today just by an uplifted hand. Say, you know, I'm making that decision. God's speaking my heart about not being ashamed of our Lord. Okay? Praise the Lord. Number of different hands. Amen. Others? Okay? Praise the Lord. Others, God is speaking to your heart about that. Okay, amen. How about at that workplace, men? Will you stand up for Jesus Christ? How about it, young men? Will you stand up for Jesus Christ? God is speaking to your heart. How many of you here today say, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I need to be saved, and I need, Pastor, that you would pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anyone here today? Not sure if I die, go to heaven, but I need to know that. God is speaking to my heart about that. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today? Just lift up your hand, wherever you might be. Lord, now we thank you today that this day is just a little bit of the taste of the pressures of the days ahead. And I pray that, Lord, that we would have been helped today to put into practice, to appropriate the power of God, the grace of God in our lives, not to be ashamed today, so that we'll not be ashamed of Him, even when the days get worse. We pray that you would bless your people. And Lord, we pray that decisions made would be genuine decisions that would bring glory to you. That even today, even tomorrow, as we go back to the normal affairs of life, that there would be a remarked and marked difference in our whole attitude and our whole demeanor and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.